Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Have you ever come across a person who, once they find out you're a follower of Jesus Christ, they think less of you? Decades ago, this would have seemed improbable, but more and more it seems like looking down on Christians is the politically correct thing to do. What makes this even more interesting is when nothing changes, except now it is known that the person is a Christian. If this hasn't happened to you in some degree, I suspect you will come across this during your life. A person who I know through social media was taken somewhat aback when he had posted online about his religious faith, and he received some negative feedback. Imagine the fact of sharing just a snippet of faith through social media and having people who otherwise like you reject you. That's a different experience than maybe we are used to. We might think in this anything-goes society of ours that religious faith would be tolerated, and for many it is, but for many others, religious faith is not tolerated at all. Whether we respond to the calling we have been given by God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, or whether we succumb to the name-calling of those who are intolerant to our faith, is a choice we all need to make. Is it this world and the people in it we serve? Or do we serve God? If we have to make a choice between those two, will we choose God? Serving God is a theme found throughout the Bible. When the children of Israel came into the promised land and were without a king, they let Samuel the prophet know how much they really wanted a king. And God gave them a king through the person Saul. Samuel challenged the people of Israel because he didn't want it to seem like the only reason they wanted a human king was because the religious elite of their day was oppressing them. And the people of Israel affirmed that in fact Samuel had not oppressed or defrauded them. In fact, they admitted that it was they who had done wrong before God. 1 Samuel 12 Verse 1. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that you have said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded, whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it to you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgat the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbabel and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side and ye dwelled safe. Even with Saul as their new king, Samuel reminded the people of the need to serve God and keep his commandments, lest God use their disobedience against them, including allowing harvests to fail at the worst possible times. Samuel reminded them that God allows these bad things to happen to remind people of their wickedness, including in their act of asking for a king, reminding them that even with a human king, there is no excuse not to serve God. Verse 12. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, you have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. In the United States, there is no king today, and there might not be a king in the country where you live. But today's nations are, in the eyes of the people, led by other people. Nearly 70 years ago in the United States, the phrase, In God we trust, was added to American currency, which gives a reminder of God with every act of buying and selling. Reciting a phrase from American currency and serving God are two distinct things. It's wise to trust God instead of trusting money and other people. And if we trust God, we should also serve God, because it makes no sense to trust God and then fail to serve God, because then we are trusting God to bring bad things to our future. If we trust God and serve God, we also fear God. And Malachi records for us an observation of those who fear God speaking often to one another, and that this caused a book of remembrance to be recorded by God to make it easy to discern between people who serve God and people who didn't serve God. Malachi 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. There is a lot of good that is done between people, along with the evil that we would expect to see from a world that has the knowledge of good and evil. Just because good is being done does not necessarily mean that God is being served, because it is possible to do good with no thought of God. Make no mistake about it, serving God is not a license to not do good today, but it is possible to do good and still not serve God. If we love God, fear God, and serve God, we will walk in His ways. And God's ways are the way of good. And God's ways are also keeping His commandments and other things required of us in the Bible. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Jesus Christ was asked what the great commandment in the law was, not in a genuine attempt to learn from Jesus, but in an attempt to trip Him up, to find fault with Jesus. And Jesus reiterated what we just saw in Deuteronomy, that the first and great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. He also then added a second command, to love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we will do both, loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and loving our neighbor as ourself. We will also remember the words of Jesus that He did not come to bring peace between people, but to bring a distance and division among people, because not all people are followers of Jesus Christ. And those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ always have to choose Jesus and God the Father first above any person, including among those people who are closest to us. Matthew 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to remember we are disciples of Jesus Christ, and everything we do must fit within that. We cannot be a part-time disciple of Jesus Christ and a part-time disciple of something else. Being that full-time disciple of Jesus Christ requires us to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Seeking first anything implies there will be other things to be sought. And all of those other things must yield to our primary responsibility of seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. There's nothing wrong with seeking other things in life, but those other things for us as disciples of Jesus Christ cannot be of equal or greater importance than seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we know that we have been called to do works, just like Jesus Christ did works. And the works that we will do will be greater because of the power of the Holy Spirit in each of us. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we show our love to him by doing those things that Jesus expects of us. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we do not judge others, and we do not condemn others. We live a life where the only sin and imperfection we focus on is our own sin and imperfection. There is that expectation for each of us as a disciple of Jesus Christ, and there is no license to judge or condemn others. Luke 6, verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, and when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we each have been given different gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we need to diligently use the spiritual gifts given to us, hating what is evil and having brotherly love for each other. Whenever we find ourselves the recipient of evil, we never repay evil for evil, and instead overcome evil with good by doing good. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend them in a low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the Lord. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We have a hope beyond this life in what is to come, and as disciples of Jesus Christ, that motivates us to remain loyal to the faith, always doing what is expected of us. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we do not remain in the basics of faith. We move beyond those basics, seeking spiritual perfection. Seeking that spiritual perfection means we cannot keep going back to square one of faith. Square one of faith has to solidly be a part of who we are, and we can never retreat, never take a vacation from faith. The faith that has been delivered to us must remain with us throughout our life, bearing spiritual fruit throughout our life, even when life is hard for us. There is never an excuse to forgo what is expected of us, and it is God who does not overlook our labor of love in good times and bad times. That labor of love is not met by being lazy, but by being diligent. And we must remain spiritually diligent until the very end to receive the hope of the promise of eternal life. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we can find ourselves separated from other people who are not disciples of Jesus Christ. Before we were called, our life was not much different than the lives of so many others in this world. But since our calling to these people, we have become somewhat strange because we do not do what they do. Behind our backs or even to our face, they might call us out on this, but we no longer find a wild and sinful lifestyle appealing. Instead of having lust control us, we control lust in our life. Excessive drinking is no longer a part of our life, nor is the never-ending social scene that appeals to so many. When this world celebrates idolatry through its holidays and traditions, we steer clear. We do not live a life in judgment of those who do what we once did, and focus on what we can do, understanding that the faith we have and the hope of eternal life is a sobering reality for each of us. Instead of judgment, we look to love, and when we have something on our mind to share, it's important for us to share that understanding, knowing what we say might be the closest that other people might come to hearing the truth of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excesses of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but living according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to do good works. No longer do we pursue the lifestyle we once pursued, focusing only on those things we can enjoy in this life. We are now focused on what eternal life has in store for us, and we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As the disciples of Jesus Christ, the elect of God, we are merciful, kind, humble, meek, patient, and tolerant. We also forgive others, doing everything through love. It is then the peace of God can rule our heart, and it is then it is easiest to be thankful. Everything we do is done in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We have been called by God and are to be disciples of Jesus Christ, and yet this world does not always look on that favorably. It seems like for every person that has a favorable impression of a Christian, there is at least that many more with an unfavorable impression of a Christian. And those favorable and unfavorable impressions frequently come without actually knowing the person. Why is it that some people don't like or even hate Christians? Part of the reason is that deep down this world is very disconnected from God the Father and Jesus Christ and has hatred towards them. And that hatred rubs off on individual people. It should come as no surprise to us when we find people who hate God the Father and Jesus Christ and by extension, hate us for what we believe. We can take comfort in what Jesus told the disciples as his crucifixion neared. Let's read John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me, hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. We have no control over any hatred people have towards God the Father and Jesus Christ, but we are still expected to act with love towards them. We know we are to have love for others, and for those of the faith, we are to have love for each other. Even when faced with hatred for what we believe, we cannot repay evil for evil. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we love each other because we know if we can't love people whom we have seen, that there is no way for us to love God whom we have not seen. 1 John 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Paul told the Romans that the only thing they should ever owe another person is love, because love fulfills the law. Everything the law tells us not to do is considered successfully checked off our list when we love others as we love ourselves. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the same. Namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is so very critical as part of who we are to be as the disciples of Jesus Christ that Jesus identified having love for each other as a sign to all people that we are his disciples. John 13, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So when people hear we are disciples of Jesus Christ, Sometimes they mock and reject us because they have already rejected God the Father and Jesus Christ. Sometimes they mock and reject us because they can't sense the love between brethren, even if that only happens to us on social media. We can't control if somebody has already rejected God the Father and Jesus Christ, but we can control what happens between brethren. And if these people mock and reject us because they see no love between brethren, that's on us. When that happens and they reject us and also reject God the Father and Jesus Christ, it is because they cannot sense the love between brethren. Being disciples of Jesus means much more than just vigorously doing what is recorded in the Bible, because even a computer can be programmed to follow a set of commands. To be disciples of Jesus Christ, called by God the Father, requires us to have love for each other, and to use that love for each other as a means to fulfill the law of God. And that is something done by faith. Being disciples of Jesus Christ is rooted in love. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.